before some of you came in, I read the thank you note that Pastor Jay sent us. And I'm just going to remind you that one of the words he spoke out of his heart, you folks are a joy. Now, knowing this man, I just want to say thank you for his gift to us, the gift of his presence, the gift of who he is, and also when he gives a compliment. I believe he gives it from his heart. He's not trying to throw fluff at us to seduce anybody. That makes sense. Because you always consider when someone is speaking to you or giving you a word, especially of this type, what's the heart? What's the purpose of the heart? I believe the agenda on Pastor Jay is to bless the house, and that's been consistent. So I just want to give you that. And this afternoon, I got to go back over my notes now because I just want to take you on a short little trip. How's that? Would you just bow your heads for a moment? Father, without you, we can do nothing. So I ask that you would release your grace and your anointing so that we can learn and understand what your Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name. You know, Jeremiah chapter 9 has a lot of meat in it. But it came this afternoon and I kept looking, Lord, what is it that you want to talk about? And there were two outstanding things that I want to kind of briefly touch on. And the first one that kind of pressured in was verse 19. Now, if you go back in history, King David captured the city of Jerusalem. And of course, in the Old Testament, many of the prophets speak about Jerusalem, but it has a double meaning. Jerusalem, if you look at it from St. Paul's perspective, when he's talking about the church, he's relating it to the woman, Abraham's faithful wife. And she is the Jerusalem to come. She is the church. If you look at the Old Covenant, you see the Jewish nation, Israel, as a type of the church of the Old Covenant. So when you look at Jerusalem, you also see within Jerusalem, there was another section of the city where King David set up his tabernacle. He set up a tent and he brought the Ark of the Covenant and the musicians and the worshipers. That was called Zion. It was a separate section of the city, a little higher up than all the rest. And it was a special place, a special people. It also represents. So if you were to look today and you'd say Jerusalem is the entire church, you'd see it with all its different denominations. But within it, you would find a people being called to go higher. A people called to love even those that don't have an agenda. I'm not trying to build you up and to make you into something you're not. But I am telling you that we were commissioned of the Lord back in the 1980s to be a people set apart, to be not focused on satisfying ourselves, but to satisfy the Father, to develop our spiritual senses and to press on towards God without condition, without predetermined ideas, or try to make things happen with a publicity stunt. Am I making any sense? The carnal church does all these things and fills the building, but it's all done out of the anointing of flesh. And I'm not saying every church now. I'm just telling you, the majority. They have an agenda. Fill the pews and fill the wallet. And I'm not criticizing them. That's their commission. But some are called to go higher even within the church. I can remember when I was in the Roman church, and I'm not picking on the Roman church, but I was there, and God set me apart, and when he filled me with the Holy Ghost, I drove everybody crazy. So much for that pattern, right? And I got accused of many things, but you know what? It was a joy. So look at your neighbor, say, welcome to Zion.
Welcome to Zion.
Because Zion is a place.
In the church of the living God.
Not to do your own thing. But to do his thing. 24/7. Hallelujah. That's your calling. So two scriptures to verify. Verse 19, the sound of wailing is heard from Zion. Now, Jeremiah is prophesying. The wailing is not happening in Jerusalem, because look at verse 11. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, and I will lay waste the towns of Judah, so no one can live there. The carnal church is going to be heading towards a season that's going to be difficult. And if you've seen the headlines of the newspapers in the past few weeks, pray for the Pope and all of the people in that church, because they're hurting. But I don't want to say God's going to destroy. But that's what the prophet said. And if he chooses to destroy, then it's going to be the prophet that has spoken, not me. I'm not interested in destroying anyone. But I am saying to you, you have a job. Verse 17. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider now, call for the wailing women to come. Send for the most skillful of them. Let them come quickly and wail over us till our eyes overflow with tears and water streams from our eyelids. The sound of wailing is heard from Zion. How ruined we are. How great is our shame. We must leave our land because our houses are in ruin. Now, O women, hear the word of the Lord. Open your ears to the words of his mouth. Teach your daughters how to wail. Teach one another a lament. Death has climbed in through our windows and has entered our fortresses. It has cut off the children from the streets and the young men from the public square. Say, this is what the Lord declares. The dead bodies of men will lie like refuse on an open field, like cut grain behind the reaper, with no one to gather them. This is what the Lord said. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Now I stress one word. Verse 24. Knowledge of him. Those who know and have a coordinated relationship with the Lord are not going to displease him. That doesn't mean that the enemy won't grab you and take you for a ride periodically. Do I get an amen? Amen. And when he does, don't panic. Because it's not the end of the world. But what I will tell you is that the knowledge that you have of him is really the next level of our message. So go to John 17. Verse 1. If before you read verse 1, I want to read to you verse 3. Because verse 3 spells what the knowledge of him is all about. This is eternal life, that they may know you. And he's talking about the Father. The only true God. Knowledge of him. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Isn't that cool? Do you see the knowledge that is now a piece of reality coming out of the Son's heart, declaring what eternal life is? Eternal life is knowledge of the Most High God. It was prophesied, and now you can wear it well. Go back to verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son. Does that sound like Sunday's message? That your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him, that you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you. So when do you have eternal life? When you have knowledge of him. When you have relationship with him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Do you hear that? How do we bring glory to the Father? By completing the work that he gives us to do. Not that we feel like doing. It's not an emotional high that's going to get you into the knowledge of God. It's not an exciting moment where you're dancing before the Lord, showing yourself off, and blowing all kinds of kisses to everybody. Because you can do that under the anointing of God, or you can do it under the anointing of flesh. How many know the difference? One is totally sovereign and really, really loved by the Father. The other is a show-off. And I've seen it in church. So don't tell me it doesn't exist, because I'll tell you, it is an irritation to my spirit man. Now, am I all alone when you see somebody doing all kinds of wavering and jumping and whatever, and you can tell it's not God? Yeah. How many have seen it and it just stinks? Mm-hmm. But there is also the anointed one. And you know, when God blasted me to pieces, I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was at the Feast of Tabernacles in 1989. I was in Texas. And I saw something I had never seen before. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. We were in a huge auditorium with a slanted floor. And as the anointing began, the orchestra was there. And those of you who know Kelly Verner, he was in the group. He was actually playing one of the instruments. And I didn't know. I had never seen him before. But when the orchestra, it was a full orchestra, loaded with talents from all over the nation, and all of a sudden, out of the back, came these group of dancers. And they were so anointed. They came down those aisles and they were flipping and doing things that I had never seen before. There was a bunch of young men and they were jumping up in the air like ballet dancers. It was just out of this world. It was so full of heaven that the joy in my heart was just bubbling out of me. And I got bumped on both sides because Juliet was on this side and Mom was on the other. And they just crashed me in the middle. And you know what? They were overwhelmed with joy because then came the tail. How many of this? Oh, there's always a head and then there's a tail. All the little ones of the church, the little ones down to 2 years old, came dancing down those aisles, boys and girls, copying their mothers. There was one young lady who was pregnant. And she was carrying her baby, and behind her was a mother who had one of those slings, and she was carrying her live baby that had been born. And I'll tell you, you could see before and after, and it was so awesome. And they kept dancing. And then she witnessed about how when she dances, the baby would dance inside of her. And then the one that was already having birth taken place, she says, every time we dance like this before the Lord, before they came to life, and out of the womb, and they're still dancing. What does that say to you? Dancing before the Lord under the anointing of the Most High will get you in trouble. It really will. Because you know what you're going to be putting to death? All those ugly scorpions. So be aware. Be aware. Amen? Verse 6 is also very important. I'm going to close there. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word. When your word comes into your heart by the Holy Ghost and you disobey, you grieve the Lord. Do your best to obey. Do your very best to obey. Eternal life is already the knowledge of Him. All I would say is go for more. You want to glorify your Father? Do what He told you to do. It's bottom line. May the anointing of the Holy One of Israel take you higher. May His grace be multiplied to you, spirit, soul, and body, and be blessed. Amen.